You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Sports Ethos. Today we are talking stashes, players that we're watching, players that we might even be adding already to get a big boost at the end of the year come playoff time. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey. Mamba out.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. And once again, Callum Mack has joined with us today. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and as always, we're here to help our listeners win fantasy, and the main reason I do it is for bragging rights. That's the only reason I got into fantasy, so yeah. Let's go, guys. If you listen to us, you will see the chip.
The chip, the bragging rights, the prestige that comes along with it, and the ability to talk shit to your mates all off-season long. So, yes, and probably for seasons to come, like you like to do as well, Callum, reminding us that...
Three-time champion.
It's a contentious three-time, but yeah, whatever. Anyway, we'll move on from there. Let's go on to... We're talking stashes. So we did this last year, just kind of flagging early some players that we can see having a big impact down the stretch of fantasy basketball, especially in your head-to-head leagues. Obviously, roto leagues, this is less of an issue, although you can stash them on your bench, and maybe they'll come to fruition at the end of the year. So it's important for us to be performing well at that time of the year. So these guys, you can withstand a little bit of suffering now. If possible, they can pay off at the end of the year. So I think... Let's go stuck straight into it. I think this first one will be a surprise to no one if you have been listening to any of our podcasts that talk about this man. Alperen Şengün. We're both big fans. I know you still have him on your fantasy roster right now in a 10-team league, waiting patiently. What are your thoughts on Şengün and where he's at right now and where you expect him to be come season's end?
Look, I'm a little bit disappointed that the minutes haven't quite been there.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is why we stash him. We're hoping that he bounces back and has a strong second half of the season. We're kind of getting close to a quarter now.
In fantasy terms, we're actually about a third of the way through the season. It's a bit less than that in the actual NBA season, but in fantasy terms, we're getting on.
Okay. Well, that's good to know because I am second in my league. With my team, with Şengün. So it's good to know that the stash is working. So when he does finally pop up, which I do have faith he will do, I'm looking pretty good. He's a guy that can get you assists for a big man. He's getting steals for the season. He's averaging 1.2 steals a game. Something like that is awesome. His field goal, I think, will always be pretty reliable. He's getting close to 50% there. The free throw percentage has been a bit disappointing, I'll be honest. That 66% on a recent round of attempts, 3.5 attempts a game. It's good to know that he is getting to the line because that's his free points. But that is kind of something to consider now because that sample size is actually pretty reasonable and he does miss them. He just doesn't hit them as consistently as you would like. And on that kind of volume, that can hurt you. So that is something I've had to consider.
I was just going to say that his free throw percentage from Europe was much better than this. I think he was close to 80% in Europe. I think that he had to change his routine or something like that. He was taking too long. I know he has like this thing where he talks to the ball.
yeah.
So it's a little weird. So I think they had to speed him up, and maybe it's thrown him off, and he's still getting used to it. I don't know. Maybe the pressure of the NBA. I don't know. But there's a little bit of hope that improves, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and look, it's just going to switch back on just in time for the playoffs. So, look, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I'm still holding on to him just because I can, being second.
Yes.
But I would say that if you are towards the lower spectrum of your league, I don't blame you for thinking about getting rid of this guy. Doesn't – like, he's right now he's ranked 214th for the season. He did come – racing up the preseason ranks to 130 is what he ended at. I probably helped a lot because I did so many mock drafts and I was always drafting him.
Yeah. We were pumping him up.
I'm probably one of the, I was always hyping this man up, but I still see the potential.
Oh, it's there.
But I can understand how some people are getting a bit impatient.
He's averaging 18 minutes a night. Okay. If that, like, there's a realistic scenario that in the second half of the year, he literally goes to, I don't know, 34 minutes a night? That's realistic, right? They're going nowhere. If, for example, a Christian Wood is traded, which there's already rumors going around, I've been saying that I am projecting a Christian Wood trade this season for months now. I think that he doesn't fit this team. He's the only basically tradable asset this team has. You're not trading John Wall. No one wants him. So I think that it just makes sense that Christian Wood is going to get traded. And when that does happen, or if that does happen, you know, Şengün finds himself in a 34 minutes per night role. You know, there's 16 points, there's 9 rebounds, there's, you know, 3.5, 4 assists. You know, that there's like a steal and a half, a block per game. Like, those numbers are realistic, and those are big-time numbers. And as a rookie, he's going to continue to get more comfortable in the league. He's going to continue to improve. We see it every year with rookies, that like all-star break, that trade deadline, post-trade deadline, we see them start to shoot off. So I'm expecting the same for Şengün. But like you said, if you need the wins now, I don't think you can hold on to him because, like we said, it's nearly... or basically is a third of the way through the fantasy season. So you've got to start making moves now. If you're not in the playoff picture, you can't afford to hold this kind of player. So if you can't grab him, if you can't hold him, at least just keep an eye on him. Keep a watch list, and hopefully someone else doesn't pick him up.
And one thing to note as well is Daniel Tice, I don't know what's happening out there on Tuesday. Yeah. Maybe you do, but he hasn't played the last 3 games. Apparently he's not injured.
No, so he's out of the rotation.
Look, it's good news for Şengün. But do you know what's happening there?
They've decided to start Eric bloody Gordon. So that's what they've gone to. Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not throw out the corpse of Eric Gordon out there? I don't know. They're starting with one.
Once again, trade value. I think both these guys are trade chips. Daniel Tice, Eric Gordon. I was assuming they play Tice here just to begin to try and just get him on the trade block as well.
I don't know why they signed him.
Obviously, there's the requirements of when you can trade them after you sign him, which... is understandable. Maybe they'll showcase him a bit more later. But Eric Gordon's 100% on the trade market.
Yeah, it was confusing. Like, the Daniel Tice signing just didn't make any sense to me at the start. It still doesn't make sense.
It's going to be a trade chip. That's all it is.
Yeah, but like, really? Daniel Tice? A trade tip? Like, what are we doing here? I don't know. And Eric Gordon, obviously they've gone to a single big lineup, which is, it hurts me because I thought, here we go. Daniel Tice is out. And it's Eric Gordon in the starting lineup. So that stung a little bit, hurt my confidence a little bit in what we're going to see Şengün, or at least how soon we're going to see it from him. But at some point, you just got to get him in there. Eric Gordon is not the future in this team. And once we're past the trade deadline, if they're traded or if they're not, you know, they might be bought out, for example, Shengun's going to be getting minutes. I'm confident, guys. I am confident. And if this doesn't work out, you can come for us. You can throw all the hate comments you want in the video. But we are still believers. And I think if you can hold on, it'll pay off. It will pay off. Let's stop talking about Şengün. Let's move on to the next guy. We did mention this in yesterday's waiver wire show, but Bones Highland, I think, is a good stash for the guard position, because I think he's coming on strong. There's a lot of injuries in Denver at the moment. Michael Porter Jr. is confirmed out for the season. PJ Dozier confirmed out for the season. Jamal Murray, you know, depending on where they're at, might not be playing at all this season. So I think they're going to be focusing on youth and just getting the games into young guys, and I think Bones is going to be a beneficiary of that. What are your thoughts on Bones?
Yeah, we touched on it in the previous pod, so go check that one out. I like Bones Highland, especially in this category in terms of a bit of his stash.
Yeah.
I do think he can turn on. I'm looking at his box scores, and there's four games here where he averaged over 20 minutes and, you know, 12 points, 15 points, 18 points, and 19 points, all of which are awesome, with threes as well, about three three-pointers a game, 3.5 assists. There's some really positive stuff there when he gets the minutes. So for that reason, in terms of a stash, I mean, yeah, 100% go for it. In terms of even just now, you could even stream a few things with him.
Yeah.
So expect, like, even in 12-team leagues, he already could be off. But for a stash candidate, he's right up on my list.
Yeah, I think he is going to get more and more minutes. And I think the minutes are going to be coming pretty soon, to be honest, because just these injuries are hitting them so hard. He's a better player already than Facu Campazzo. He's pushing Austin Rivers minutes. He's pushing Monty Morris minutes. He's almost better than these guys already. So why not give the young guy the run? The season's not, you're not winning the championship this year if you're Denver. You might be winning it next year. And if you do that, you're going to need younger players to be better and step into bigger roles. So I think that it only makes sense to give him more minutes. I also think he can be a pretty good steals guy as well. He put up some good steals in college. He's a lanky, long, good defender. So I think he can be good in threes, points, free throw percentage, a trickle of assists, and some decent steals as well. And the turnovers shouldn't be too high because everything runs through Jokic. He's not going to be asked to play make too much on that team. So someone who I think has got a fairly high potential as a guard, maybe not as high as Şengün, but someone who you can definitely keep an eye on there. And the last guy who we're going to say is a stash that you could probably add right now already is Jonathan Isaac. I was surprised to find that he's only rostered in 56% of leagues. I guess, you know, the news of his injuries are still a bit murky, but I think we're getting close enough to where you got to add this guy and just hope, store him in your IR spot. And he can bring you back really good value. We know he's had top 30 per season per game values in the past. So I think he is someone that if you have a IR spot available, or even if you want to make room for that spot, I think Jonathan Isaac is someone that you need to scoop up now before everyone else starts to hear that, oh, he's training, oh, he's playing games, oh, he's going to be back next week. Before that happens, I think you swoop in now.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. He's one of those guys that can get you like the 1.5 steals with the two blocks, which is pretty yep. crazy. And then the three, you know, the one three-pointer a game is a nice little beneficiary. Great for a punt points build, great for a punt assist build as well. I mean, outside of that, he can probably pretty much fit anything. So
yeah.
I would be hesitant, though, just in terms of when he does return, I would expect some rest.
Yeah.
So as an owner, if that does happen,
he's
expecting to sit every, I don't know, third game for a bit or every fourth game. That is something you have to take on.
Yeah.
But his enough. Overall value should be enough on those defensive stats and from a fantasy point of view.
He's been out a long time with his ACL, man. Like I think he's been out over like 14 months.
He did
months
it in the bubble.
Something. Yeah.
So
like it's been like 14, maybe even longer, 16, 18 months now. Like that's a lot longer than a typical ACL. I know obviously ACLs are not anything to mess around with, but yeah, that's a really long time. So I wonder if there was something that went wrong in the rehab or anything like that. Who knows? He's a thinner kind of guy, so I guess I don't know. Maybe the strength wasn't quite there. I don't know. It's interesting to see how they're going to manage him coming back. I'll throw out another question to you regarding Isaac. What do you think their rotation's going to look like when he's back? In terms of you've got Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. sharing the front court, and you've also got Franz Wagner, who's basically playing as the three at the moment. One of those guys, Bamba, Wendell Carter, Franz Wagner and Isaac, one of them's going to come off the bench. Who do you think it's going to be?
That's a good question. That honestly is a good question. I think it's going to be one of either Carter or Bamba.
Yeah.
I think they just have to decide that they're going to play one of them at center and then have, I mean, the Franz and Isaac can kind of both be a 3-4. They can go between, but Isaac, I think, probably is a bit better at the four. That's in my eyes where he probably should have always been.
I understand
he was agile enough to defend threes, but I think he probably is more of a power forward. So that, for that reason, I think that's where he is. But I still would warn owners that I wouldn't be surprised if he is kind of coming off the bench, even just to start as well maybe the first week or two, just to kind of get some minutes, get some reps in. But yeah, I want 1 or 2 weeks, and I'd probably say Carter would be the guy that gets cut just because Bamba's been killing it.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go team Bamba. So Bamba at the starting center, Isaac at the four, Franz at the three would be my forecast, let's say, in a few months' time.
I wonder how much influence it is being someone who has Bamba on their fantasy team, if that influences your decision. I've got no one. I've got none of them on my team. And I personally think Bamba will go to the bench. But even in the bench role, he should be getting maybe like 24 minutes a night and still be useful in fantasy basketball. So I wouldn't panic or drop anyone if or when that situation happens. And like you said, it could be Isaac, you know, just coming back. The Magic don't have anything to play for, really. They're trying to win ping pong balls. So it could be Isaac, but I think the upside for Isaac is too high to... You can't wait until he's back. He's going to be rostered before then. So... I think particularly if you do need those steals and blocks, he is someone who's probably got the highest upside on your waiver wire. And like we said, he's been a top 30 player before. So someone who I'm very keen on. I like his game. I like what he can do. But a little bit nervous with how the injury has been handled and the length of the rehab up until this point. Makes me a little bit nervous. But he is someone that you can stash.
Talking of top 30 talent, Mo Bamba ranked 31. Currently for the season, had a great game last game.
Well, that's not top 30 now, is it?
And six blocks.
Top 31 talent.
Shout out to him.
Top 31 talent. There you go. nearly there, mate. Nearly there. All right, let's move on to. I'm calling these guys the watch lists. Now you're not adding these guys, I don't think yet. You're just watching them, and they're on a lot of my watch lists. They're on a couple of my dynasty teams. I'll start off with another Orlando Magic player, Markel Fultz. Now, before the season, I would have said that the starting guards in Orlando are Fultz and they're Suggs. Of those two, obviously Suggs had his injury and Fultz has been injured from the start of the season. And Cole Anthony has just decided that he's playing amazing and he's going to come out and just light the league on fire. So... I'm obviously not as high on him as I was preseason, but the injury with Suggs, maybe even Fultz returns before a Jalen Suggs, depending on the rehab time. And then if that happens, you know, Fultz has got some upside, especially in a punt free throw build. He can give you some solid assist steals. So he's someone that I'm watching. I'm keeping an eye on any updates with his injury and things like that. I'm not adding him yet. His upside isn't high enough like a Jonathan Isaac to sort of bear that pain for too long, but I am keeping an eye on him, and I'm interested to see how it plays out when they're all back healthy. What are your thoughts on Markel?
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on him as well. They're saying that he's kind of just been assigned to the G League.
Okay.
So that's definitely pretty positive. He should be getting some live action. We saw Clay be assigned to the G League recently as well, and apparently he's a few weeks away, so that kind of gives you some kind of guesstimation of where he is. Markel Fultz always been a great kind of punt threes kind of guy. So I would be heading more towards this direction if you were that team. But in terms of the minutes, yeah, that's the tricky thing. I mean, look, Suggs is out for a few weeks. You may find he is back before Fultz is. So I'm not too sure how that works. Cole Anthony right now probably is the alpha dog in that town.
Yeah, I never would have thought that coming into the season, to be honest. That seems wild to me.
Me neither. I did not see this coming at all. You even got RJ Hampton coming off the bench. And I'm not too sure how he fits into it as well, because I guess they're still both similar ages in Fultz and Hampton, and they're both young. Obviously, Orlando are just going their youth movement. So it's a tough one. I would also expect him, similar to Jonathan Isaac, to maybe sit out a few games. Yeah. Even when he does come back, they probably will play it safe just because they are so deep at the guard spot. But I think it kind of points to him probably just coming at the bench and getting comfortable again to begin with anyway.
Yeah.
So for now, it's probably safe not really to stash him.
No, he's a watch.
Because when, I think when he comes back, he will be more the bench guy for now. But I'd still keep him on my watch list and keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be watching him too, not adding just yet. But just I just don't know where the minutes are going to go, and that's why, you know, there is a little bit upside there, although I'm not as optimistic as some of these other guys. Let's talk about the next guy, another Houston Rockets player, a player that I like, and every time I watch him, he passes the eye test to me. I feel like he should be getting more minutes, and I think he will by the end of the season. It's KJ Martin Jr., what are your thoughts on KJ Martin and his potential towards the end of the season?
Yeah, with these Houston Rockets, we saw him kind of explode a bit last season.
Yeah, the end of last season,
I guess they're
he
on
went
track
off
for that same tank tankathon like they were doing. So definitely keep on your watch list. He can get the steals, he can get the odd blocks as well. He's known for his hops, really, and dunks was probably his highlight plays. But from a fantasy output, he didn't scream at you, but he still was hovering around that kind of 100 value when he had the minutes. So for that reason, keep him on your watch list. He probably fits more upon assist build. Ideally, is probably the best fit for him. But I think you're probably a bit higher than me, Mitch. Like, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I quite like him. I think we saw at the end of last year he exploded really when they went into their heavy tank, and he was putting up lots of blocks. His threes actually took a big uptick, but even his per 36 number, his per 30 numbers are fairly decent. Even if we just, you know, he's playing 15 minutes a night, if we double that, he's averaging 13, 6, 2 assists, a steal basically, and a block, averaging a 3. So the block, steal, 3 are there. Low turnovers, the field goal percentage from the wing position is really good. Obviously, he's getting a lot of dunks and things like that. So he's good across the board. The free throw percentage isn't the best, but it's low attempts, so you don't have to worry about it too much. He's just a really solid and decent fantasy build at this stage, and I think he's just got way more upside than someone like a Deshaun Tate or obviously Eric Bledsoe, who's 40 years old, and all those other guys that seem to be getting minutes over him. I don't think that will be the case at the end of the season. I'm less confident, obviously, that of him as like a Sengun because it's more obvious. But I think that, you know, he is one of the youngest players on this team, and I think he should be pushing for more minutes sort of post-trade deadline. So if I need that sort of across the board, the steals, blocks, threes, like that combination with solid percentages and some decent rebounds from the wing, he is someone I'm definitely keeping an eye on. And I'm stashing him, obviously, in my Dynasty League. I'm a bit of a younger team with my setup, so I am a bit invested in him that way, but for a reason. I do like his upside.
Yeah, and I think the main thing for him will probably just be keeping an eye on those trades.
Yeah,
because you have to see who comes into Houston as well. And we assume Eric Gordon's out of there, and we assume that Daniel Tice is also out of there. So depending who comes in, just based on that, you could pick him up.
Yeah, and buyouts as well. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these players are bought out in this season as well. Let's move on to the next guy. Another injured player, TJ Warren. Now, I don't know what's going on really with his injury. He's someone who I actually drafted him at the start of the season because there wasn't much in the way of an update with him at the start of the season. He obviously has had chronic foot issues. He was in a boot more and things like that. So don't really know what's going on with him. That's why he's listed on this watch list section. But he is someone who has been sort of like that top 75, top 80 player before. So definitely when he gets the minutes, he's going to be relevant. I'm not sure if he's going to be someone that when he comes back in, like a Fultz, he's going to walk straight into a, you know, 30 minutes a night role. Don't really know what's going on with Indiana, whether they're going to be competitive. They're sort of there's a bit of a log jam in the Eastern Conference right now. So it might depend on where they are in the standings when he comes back. But again, just because he does have that upside, he has done it before, he is someone who I am keeping an eye on. If you need those points, the good field goal percentage, he can give you like a couple of threes and things like that there, but really low turnovers and just that efficient scorer that we know him to be. What are your thoughts on TJ Warren?
I wasn't high on him at the draft, but there has been some kind of positives now with the news. You know, about 3 weeks ago, Shams was saying that they are optimistic that he could return around the New Year's
okay.
time, so late December or January. Look, that was 3 weeks ago. Things can change. They probably will be cautious with him. But then again, like these Pacers aren't playing really too well so far. They could be on the trade block, which could make give him more minutes, give him less. He could even be traded. So that is probably also something to keep a mind, an eye on. Rick Carlisle also said that he has been playing phenomenally well compared to where he was about 12 weeks ago. So I guess that's a positive sign.
If you I mean, can it's not a negative. But,
exactly. It's heading in the right direction. Yeah. But for now, it sounds like he's at least a month out. And even when he comes back, I'm not too sure what it's like there, given Caris LeVert is kind of the three. They get Chris Duarte. They could play the 2 and 3 and Justin Holiday. Like, they are very deep. So it is a tricky one, but still worth adding to your watch list nonetheless.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. Like, Jonathan Isaac, I'm storing on my injured reserve. I'm storing him there because his upside is good enough for me to do that. Fultz and TJ Warren, I'm not bothering, but when it's like a week away or a couple of days away, maybe if I've got a healthy roster, then I can stash in there before he comes back and just see how he comes back. And if he's back in a good role, then I can move him. If he's back in a limited role, then I can just drop him without really losing much to begin with anyway. So those are the things that I'm thinking about there. I didn't put this in our run sheet, Cal, but another Indiana Pacers I want to give a quick shout out to is Isaiah Jackson. Just in the off chance that one of Sabonis or Turner is traded, Isaiah Jackson, he had a knee injury earlier in this season. He's a really good per-minute blocks guy, a good field goal percentage, and a solid rebounder as well. I think we talked about him in our preseason pods going over the draftees and things like that. He's someone who's got a bit of something extra to his game. So someone who I am keeping an eye on, less likely to happen. I don't know if they're going to make that trade. Although they're not in the best spot in the roster. They might make, in the standings, I should say. They might make some moves, but maybe not. Someone who's just maybe in deeper leagues or dynasty leagues, you want to have a look at Isaiah Jackson because he is from his college numbers, someone who can put up good stats. Let's move on to the last player, someone who I'm typically more high on than you are, Callum. Nicholas Claxton, again, a watch list guy. You know, we've seen LaMarcus Aldridge take the starting role. Blake Griffin seems to be out of the rotation completely. This gives me a bit of optimism that Claxton can come in and there's less roadblocks in his way to get minutes. Not super optimistic that he's going to do it this season with the Nets competing, obviously, for a championship, but maybe there's an injury or something like that. I'm keeping an eye on him when he comes back. Apparently, he's gone and started some conditioning. He had an illness, which has basically taken him out for the entire season, which is, I don't know what that illness was, but yeah, it really... really set him back. Like, it's week 7 now, and yeah, I don't think he's played much basketball. So, really weird one. But what are your thoughts on Nicholas Claxton?
I think he probably is destined still for maybe around the 20-minute mark. So, he probably, for me, is still probably just a block streamer.
Yeah.
Maybe even, like, field goal if you're desperate there, but he doesn't shoot a whole lot of attempts. Obviously, he's pretty much just in the dunker spot. That is his role. He is a role player, does his role well. But, I mean, looking, he's only played 4 games this season, and it's funnily incredibly similar to the 32 games he played last season.
Yeah.
And they're both pretty much, you know, 6 points and 6 rebounds with a bit over a block a game.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good field goal, about 55 and 62% on field goal for both those 2 seasons, respectively. I think he's probably still destined for that same kind of high teens to 20 minutes and pretty much just put out these kind of stats. So I'm not rushing out of the gates to get him.
But he's a watch.
Still kind of have a look at him. Like, he could, it's an injury to Aldridge, like you touched on. He will have some games where he puts up, you know, 12, 10, and you know, 3 or 4 blocks. He will have games like that.
Yeah, he will.
So it's all about trying to time it well, get him when he's there. With Blake being out, he could be worth this, like a bit of a speculative ad, just because we know that the coach there in Steve Nash is mixing it up a little bit. Maybe he does get some more minutes. So from that point of view, I think he probably could be worth it if you can take him on in a deeper league. Just sit and wait to see what happens for a few weeks when he's back.
Yeah, and look, like, LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin. We're not talking about friggin' Iron Men here who are, like, never injury prone, have never, you know, sat out a game or anything like that. Like, these guys are very... well, they're very old, and they're also quite injury prone in their later years. So the pathway to minutes, you can see it happening. Like, you can see how it can happen. It's just a matter of if it does and how quickly does that happen. Look, it's I'm obviously less optimistic than I was at the start of the season. Looks like LaMarcus Aldridge has found some kind of form again, which I was surprised to see, but he's doing it. So they're probably going to roll with that a little bit longer. But, you know, it would just take an injury to LaMarcus Aldridge for him to find himself in a pretty decent role and be able to give you those traditional big men stats. So, again, someone who I keep my eye on, not really adding just yet, but just he's on my watch list. I've got that star next to his name, and especially if I need those big men stats. I think that'll do it for our stashes. Anyone else you want to throw out there? Or we cover them all, basically. Şengün is our big stamp that we're going to put next to his name. Would you agree there, Cal?
Yep, dude. Do not lose faith in the Turkish MVP. He will. He's coming. I swear.
Yeah. Let's throw one of these on it. Oh.
Guaranteed.
Stick with him if you can, there guys. I implore you. But if you can't, obviously you've got to make the playoffs. So move on if you have to. But if you can, just stick with him. Make sure if you enjoyed today's video or listening on the podcast, head over to YouTube version, give us a big thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube channel and on Apple Podcasts. Please make sure if you like the show, if you enjoy talking fantasy hoops, head over to the Apple Podcast section and on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. If you leave a funny comment, we might even read it out on the air. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.